myself into a pickle, Morty. Boom, big reveal, I'm a pickle. What do you think about that? I turned myself into a pickle. I'm Pickle Rick.
Welcome to McDonald's, can I take your order?
Yeah, I'd like to get a 10-piece McNugget and a bunch of the Szechuan sauce. Like, as much as you're allowed to give me. As much as you're allowed to give me. As much as you're allowed to give me. Szechuan sauce. Szechuan sauce. And it's delicious. And it's delicious. Szechuan sauce. Szechuan sauce. And it's delicious. And it's delicious. Szechuan sauce. Szechuan sauce. And it's delicious. And it's delicious. Szechuan sauce.
And welcome to our podcast, Geeks Are Wired, where we talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And this week, we have Alex.
That's this guy.
And we have me, Abil.
Crickets.
Crickets. We have crickets everywhere. And me, a Bill. I'm going back with that.
just keep vamping on that for a while.
Yay! It's a Bill. Wait, maybe it's not. Maybe it's not always a good thing, a Bill. Well, it's good that I'm a Bill.
There had to be one time there wasn't a Bill.
Yeah. True. When you're like worried, like, where is it? All right. Well. Yeah, that's all we have this week because everyone's busy. You know, life happens.
Life comes at you quick.
I know. Actually, that's probably the fastest intro, too. I was under a minute, and I even said my name like 5 times.
I'm going to blame Joe.
That works.
Or Ted. Jordan? Who else isn't here? We could blame any of them.
Anna.
It's Anna's fault. Yeah, definitely. I'm going to push all my chips in on Anna being the reason our intros are so long.
There we go. she's talked so much. Or maybe it's because she's quiet, so it's kind of awkward.
The manipulator.
All right. Well, let's start off with The Tick has been released on Amazon. And how far have you made it?
I watched the first 6 episodes they released. I dig it.
Nice. I'm halfway through the third one.
Oh man, that's okay. So you've seen like the I guess major plot point of it already. Like they don't bury the lead with the Tick. Like the are we into like spoilers territory or
why,
I guess
why not?
A spoiler because it happens like for the second episode. But there's this great moment in the second episode. Like, up to that point, like, the show's kind of unfolding. Like, it's going to be a combination of, like, Wilfred and like, I guess maybe Fight Club and Daredevil all rolled together.
And Mr. Robot.
Yeah. And you don't know if the Tick is, like, actually a real character or not. And then, like, in the second episode, they let it loose that, yeah, the Tick's actually a character, like, an actual character in that universe.
Actually, I wasn't really thinking of it that way. Until he kind of like brought it up. I'm like, oh yeah, you are kind of crazy. Like I, you know, being a fan of the Tick previously, I didn't think like, oh, the Tick's not real. So when he was like, you're just an imagination or you're just part of my imagination. I was like, really? They're okay. And then like, he's like, quit talking to me. And she's like, why are you telling, who is this? Like you see him?
That was a really great like moment of tension when the show first started because like that's one of the hard things if you have like an intro in some kind of superhero TV series like getting through those first couple episodes is really tough because you can show like an origin story but there isn't like a lot of drama there like you know you're going to get a superhero out of it so making it like questionable if there's actually a superhero in the superhero show is a pretty good move
or even the idea of like the person who thinks that the sidekick of the superhero is actually the superhero, but they're mentally, you know, seeing the superhero.
Yeah, they did a good job of like planting little clues to make it look like the there was like supporting evidence that the Tick actually isn't real.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that I was a little bummed that they kind of shot their wad on that early on, like in the second episode. I was hoping they just like drag it out through the entire first season. But it kind of makes sense with, like, the plots of the later episodes. It makes sense that they reveal that pretty early on, but I'm glad they dragged it out at least a little bit, because I don't think I laughed at as hard as anything in the first season as much as I did, like, that scene right there.
No. I'm excited, even though I haven't gotten through them all. It's just, yeah, been busy, but I really wanted to finish them up. Really excited that they're going to have a second season.
Oh, that's good news. I was worried that they're just gonna be a one and done just because it wasn't popular or whatever.
Oh no, it picked up. It got the numbers. I also did. Okay, so something else. Did you watch the preview back when the voting was to choose which show to do it?
Uh-uh.
And you didn't. So you watched episode one, you watched episode one when they released them all then?
Yeah, I watched it cold. I just started watching it, hoping it was good.
Okay, so I got to double check something. I'm pretty sure, I didn't actually go back and make sure on this. When he makes a reference in episode two, what's up with your suit? Did they they put more money into it because they're a full-on pledge series now, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, because he was like, well, because the first one was a temporary kind of mediocre suit for the Tick. And then they made it better for the second episode, which was the first episode of the full-on series. So there was that tweak in the suit.
Oh, I didn't know that. Notice they even did that.
Oh. Okay, yeah. So I was pretty sure that's what they did. That's what I said. I hadn't gone back to officially check to make sure that that's what they did. But because he made the comment, he's like, did you change your outfit? And he's, when Arthur's talking to the Tick. So.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even catch that. Oh, that's. I guess that's like a good way of stitching out a continuity for people mm-hmm. who watch the preview, but.
Yeah, because I watched the preview way, way back when, and I've been waiting for this I voted back then, and I'm like, come on, make this show for me.
It's probably the first, streaming exclusive superhero TV show I've actually, cared deeply about, because, Daredevil is pretty cool, and it's on my I'll eventually finish list, but the Tick, actually brought happiness to me.
Nice. It's always good.
I know it's on Amazon and it's probably going to be there for the rest of Amazon, the time Amazon has streaming, but I'm kind of like, maybe I should get this on DVD if it's ever released, because I just like to make sure I always have a copy of it.
Yeah.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
So well, yeah, watch it and get yeah. Cheap shipping. Do both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, you could even just get it for one month, $10. There's other ones cost way more than that, and you get the free shipping.
Oh yeah, they do it month to month on Prime now, don't they?
Yep, you either pay $100 per year, or you pay $10 a month. So you pay, the $99.99 for the year, which means if you pay the year up front, you save $20.
It's a pretty rad deal.
Mm-hmm. And it threw me off. I was expecting them to do a week-by-week release. They didn't expect them to do the Netflix thing.
I'm kind of glad they did. I binged it one night. I would have been sad if I had to wait between every episode, but I'm glad they did for this. I just wish there were more episodes. There's only six.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all great. I loved every single episode, but still, I wish there were just more.
It was really short. They were super short episodes, too.
Yeah, the episodes, they were only 30 minutes long, weren't they?
Oh, that's what it was. This was the... Okay, I actually mixed up something. This was the first half of the first season that they've released. So the full season will be 12 episodes.
Oh, well, that's good news.
So, and the second half will be 7 episodes. Wait. Oh, maybe that's why they're counting with the episode 1. So episode 2... to 5, or to 6, is 5 episodes, and then they got 7 more. So I guess 1 is not 1. 1 is 0.
Do you know when they're going to release the rest of them?
I was actually trying to find that out real quick.
Episode season 1. Live Googling.
Early 2018.
The podcast. Youch. I wonder why they don't just call it a season 2. I know there's only 6 episodes, but you could have a 6 episode. A Brit series has 3 episodes per season, so it's not like it's that weird.
Oh, I was wrong. No, season second half. It'll have six episodes. It will continue with episode 7. That's what it is. I was 7. So yeah, there's only 6 more episodes.
Huh.
Which is apparently, you know, different from their normal 10 episode. Which actually Netflix is doing some oddness with that too. Like, have you been watching Voltron?
Huh.
Voltron has. They're already on season 3. And the show literally came out like last year. So they've been like pumping them out almost like twice. No, maybe it was 2 years ago. Maybe it was October, a couple years. I don't know. No, it's not been very long. But the next one, season 4, is in October, which is good because season 3 was like 6 episodes or something. It was super short.
Huh. Is Voltron any good? Like I wasn't a fan of the original cartoon.
It gives it its proper nods, but it is awesome. I love it. I can, you know, I kind of went back to go look at, watch the old stuff. I couldn't.
I remember watching as a kid and thinking, wow, this is pretty bad.
Oh, see, I was a kid and I was like, I had the toys. Voltron was my.
Yeah, that's the best part. I mean, like it's like watching anime is just lame.
Hmm.
So you think of like Transformers. The Transformers cartoon is just horrendous.
All right, it's 7 episodes for the season 3.
Oh.
Season 1 was quite a bit longer. Was 11. So I'd say, yeah, season 3, I burned through it in one morning, because they're like half-hour episodes.
Wow.
Yeah, season 2 was 13 episodes. So they actually went from short, from okay to longer to like super short. But I like the story, how they build it up. That's why, like, did you watch Thundercats when they released it on Cartoon Network a couple years ago?
I think a little bit. I don't.
Like, it was a better story.
Is it a new one or is it the original? Because I only watched the original one.
It's brand new a couple years ago.
Oh, you haven't watched it that then.
Yeah, they had a great plot to go with it, everything, but it just, they didn't get the right people they wanted, and they were like, we're out. We want the young children. I'm like, this is not a young children plot story. This is, it felt like, you know, it's kind of like how Clone Wars is, it has adult themes behind it. But, you know, or has a good story plot, something kids could kind of watch but not really follow as well as an adult. Well, that's the way Thundercats was, and Cartoon Network's like, nah, we're pulling in the wrong people. We want, you know, 8-16-year-old boys, so kill the series.
It seems like Cartoon Network keeps attracting, talent and producers that want to make something for, like, a more mature audience. But, like, all Cartoon Network wants to do is just sell to that age group. Like, pretty much every cartoon that gets 8 billion seasons on Cartoon Network, it happens to be for that age group. Like, Teen Titans Go and stuff like that.
Yeah, and because that's the other thing. Yeah, with the old Teen Titans or Young Justice, there was all that push of, well, why aren't you making, you know, why don't you bring this show back? It was better than Teen Titans Go. And there was more to it. I don't, because I remember Teen Titans Go was this in-between kind of goofy thing. I was surprised they.
I remember watching an episode. I'm like, wow, this is horrifying. This is so bad.
Yeah.
Like now that Teen Titans was like some piece of art that could never be replicated. I mean, it's okay. It's an action cartoon that was kind of in the same vein as like the 94 Batman cartoon, but it was just so much better than than Go.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, watching it just enraged me. Like, why did you get rid of Young Justice and all this? The good news, there's talk of Young Justice coming back, but like Netflix picking it up. There's a live action Young Justice that's being worked on.
I think it kind of makes sense to try to like just. Try to push like any new series just to streaming. Like I know Turner doesn't want to leave cable high and dry, mm-hmm. but like they're making so many programming decisions based on time slots that it seems like just a terrible idea long term. Maybe that's just my impression. Maybe, well, that might not be backed up on like any recent anything recent, because like Samurai Jack got a like a release on Amazon at the same time as it was going up on cable, but still.
Well, it just a lot of I think a lot of companies are like afraid. It's kind of like how the music industry and movie industry was going with that, where they fought, you know, when you know Napster came around, and they were like, no, this is evil. Must buy them on CDs and cassettes still. And everyone's like, no, I like my, at the time, the Zune or my MP3 player. You know, stuff like that.
I like the Roxio player.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember like that period of time, like around like 2003, 2007? Like just the ecosystem of MP3 players was so bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were trying to make them just like in weird shapes. Like they're round MP3 players and like, They're trying to stick MP3 players in just the weirdest stuff. And there's like a weird, right at the time the market started getting saturated with like Chinese MP3 players, there were so many MP3 players. Like I think that's the reason the iPod just, I think it's the reason like the iPod kept going for as long as it did. People just got fed up and wanted to go with something they knew would work. Because There was a time there, like the SanDisk MP3 players and, like those flash memory MP3 players that were name brands in the US, those were doing okay, and then they just like disappeared overnight from the market, and like it killed the Zune and like the SanDisk and like Creative's player, whatever that one was called.
Oh yeah,
it's a good thing that Apple came out with the iPhone about that time too, because if they hadn't done that, we'd still be talking about like MP3 players as a thing.
Yeah. Oh, and also, so Young Justice, the next one's supposed to be Outsiders, is supposed to come out in 2018 with 26 episodes.
Huh.
With any luck. I know this is something that's been pushed off a couple years, and they supposedly have people to be in it. So that'll be interesting.
That's what you need for a show, people to be in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Directors, actors. You know,
money. Ideally, viewers are into it.
Yeah, yeah, that's always good.
You got people in it.
Yeah, no, I don't know. The cartoons. Just make a cartoon for adults. Accept it. The cartoons or adults want them.
Or just do live action cartoons very well, like The Tick.
Ah, yes.
Either of those work. Either actually just make good shows. That's all you gotta do.
Well, yeah, you're right. I'd watch anything if it was, you know, just a great show. Make me laugh when I want to laugh. Make me into it. You know, whatever. It doesn't even have to be all that in one. That's why there's such variety. Make it available. Actually, that's the other thing. Don't just do like the new Star Trek that's coming out on CBS. It's going to be, you know, the first episode's aired, and then the rest will be through behind the paywall, the CBS paywall. Or huh. Star Trek Discovery.
That's actually kind of a cool name.
It is. It's
I won't watch it, but that's a cool name.
I will watch the first episode, and if I'm a fan... Oh, yeah, that's okay. Let me rephrase. I shouldn't say it's behind the paywall. If you live outside the U.S., it's on Netflix. If you live within the U.S., it's behind the CBS paywall. So go figure, you know, you could do some math on that. I bet people could figure out where they can get it at besides Netflix or the CBS app if they really wanted to.
Nice.
Yeah. Maybe clandestine. I don't know. Or, of course, there's always the Orville with Seth MacFarlane's Star Trek ripoff. Have you seen the preview for that?
Uh-uh.
Oh, he's like, I want a ship. Or he's talking to the head of Starfleet, basically. They're like, we're giving you this ship. He's like, I've always wanted one. Don't be too excited. We actually have way too many ships, and we just... are done with you, actually.
Oh, I think I've seen like ad spots for that on TV, like at the gym. Yeah, I haven't seen that or watched a preview for it.
It's entertaining. I'm looking forward to that one.
That's kind of a good idea to bring like to do space opera as like a but do a satire as a TV show. Like, I mean, Scrubs was huge.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was isn't it StarQuest? No, Space StarQuest.
Yeah, StarQuest. Like, it's the one with Tim Allen in it.
Yeah. That was supposed to. That seems off. I don't know why.
It had the completely forgettable name. Like, I think they kind of just intentionally chose a forgettable name, and then just ironically, everyone just forgot it.
But they were supposed to make a TV show out of that, and then nobody would show up, or no one was going to do it, and now they might have Galaxy Quest. That's what it's called.
Galaxy. That's right.
Yeah, I was like, that's Star Quest doesn't sound right. Galaxy Quest. They were going to make a TV show out of it. Then they couldn't get anyone on board. They couldn't figure out the channel or anything. And then when everyone kind of started going, okay, this sounds good, then there was the rumors that Sigourney Weaver was the holdout because, you know, most of these people are, you know, have large stuff, you know, quite a bit of thing going on. And then now they might get a TV show again, but no channel is officially picking it up. it is like one of the super limbo things that may or may not happen one day.
Maybe they'll get lucky. Has Sigourney Weaver ever been like on a running series on TV?
I'm not sure.
She must have at some point.
I wouldn't totally doubt, because I don't, like, wasn't that Alien her first? Let me see.
Not sure. I think
it wasn't her first. It's up. Well, it's her breakout. Yeah, she was on Somerset, which is a TV series, back in 70.
Well, it's like how John Travolta's in Welcome Back, Kotter, and that's like his only credit, pretty much.
Well, she's got a few. She's got a couple of mini TVs, you know, The Best Family, 3 by Cheever.
Who can forget 3 by Cheever?
I know. sure there's something else in here. I'm just not like, because they're actually putting TV series next to them. And I'm like, I don't know exactly. Yeah, she was on, the Futurama. She was the Planet Express ship voice.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's TV credit, technically. She probably didn't have to leave her house to do it, but.
Mm-hmm. I think if she's been on TV, it looks like she's on Eli Stone and the others. So if she's done anything recently on TV. Okay, there's actually a few more. Political Animals. For the most part, if she's been on TV, it's been like a one-off. Oh, she. Okay, how about this? I can't believe I forgot about this one. Do you consider Netflix TV shows?
Oh, yeah.
Then she was on The Defenders.
The Defenders. I don't know if I ever saw that one.
It's the new Netflix one. I recommend it. And the nice thing is, you know, I dropped out halfway through Iron Fist and I'm never going back. And I didn't feel left behind. Yeah, you know, you could watch it and not have watched the others. But it definitely helps to have watched a good, you know, at least parts or a good half of at least all of the seasons, which means mostly also at least Daredevil up through. You should probably watch Daredevil all the way through season 2, or have somebody that knows all, you know, you can ask questions to. I can see why she's busy though. She's got Avatar 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 coming out over the next.
Oh, jeez, are they shooting, like, Avatar 2, I imagine they're shooting, but are they shooting, like, ahead of, like, Avatar 2's release?
2, 3, and 4 are all in pre-production.
Ugh.
5 is just announced.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Actually, didn't she die in the first one?
I think she became one of the big blue people. I don't remember.
I thought she became one of the big blue people, and then she died.
Maybe.
Or is that how they saved her? That could be how they saved her.
Oh, that may have been it.
Yeah, that might have been it.
I can't believe how popular that movie was still. Oh, well. It's not for me. Clearly, it's not for me.
I didn't watch it in theaters in 3D, so I don't get it.
You know, I did. And the only thing that I can think of that it was really worthwhile watching it for in terms of the 3D was there were a few scenes where I forgot who's even on screen, but they're walking through a field with and there were these bugs that kept flying up. That was cool. That's a neat effect because they had like the bugs in the foreground mm-hmm. and then like the characters in the background. That's kind of neat. But other than that, like, I don't remember any parts of the movie being in 3D specifically.
I can see that. Yeah. I don't know. I thought the characters were all predictable and
bland.
Flat.
Yeah, that's probably the reason everybody and their dog went to go see it, just because everybody recommends, yeah, it's all right. That's got to be it. To make a billion-dollar movie, you just have to make an alright movie. That's the secret. Market a very alright movie.
There you go. It's like, I watched it. It's watchable.
I didn't get sick in the middle.
Yeah. Maybe that's it should just be advertised as, it's watchable. They'll sell out. They'll become the number one movie of all time. Because it's watchable. That's it. I just figured out the name of the podcast.
It's watchable.
It's or I guess listenable.
No, watchable. Don't listen to this podcast. Just watch it.
It's watchable.
Like, take your iPod, start playing it, pull your headphones out so you don't have to listen to it, and then just watch the progress bar go by.
Well, depending,
it's watchable.
Depending on what you have, it might just blur at you too. So
that's true.
Yeah, it's still watchable.
We have to have a good number of Zune listeners. I found a Zune at a garage sale like last year. It's been sitting in the bottom of a box. It's got a cracked screen, but I think like the hard drive still works on it. I kind of want to revive it, but I'm kind of worried. Like after I sink like more than $20 into it, what like the best thing I'll have at the end of it is a Zune.
Yeah, that's why I'm questioning. Like, would the Zune have podcasts availability? Because they stopped supporting it.
There's got to be a way to like just put MP3s on it. But yeah, like I mean, I've got Windows 10. I don't know if like you can hook a Zune up to a Windows 10 machine.
See, and I have like an old iPod. The ones was like
500. Like the click wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, you can still use those.
Yes, you can.
And there's like weird restrictions for like you can only charge over FireWire, and you can only like sync over USB. Like, just iTunes has kind of gotten broken over the years with syncing with iPods. But, yeah, there's a few holdout people who've, like, replaced their hard drives with flash memory. Hint, that's what I'm going to try to do with my old iPod. And, yeah, they've been able to get them to, like, sync just fine with iTunes. It just, you have to use a different cable depending on what you want to do. Which is kind of bizarre to think about, but...
Huh.
I'm glad that like it's not like a completely obsolete piece of equipment. Like you can still use it for something.
Well, yeah, because so even if you don't replace the hard drive in it, you can still like it. I forgot how big the hard drive is in it. It's
like,
got a decent.
It's like 10 gig for like the first click wheel, and that's like a 30 for like the like Gen 3s, and then you start hitting like the 80 and up, like after like Gen 4.
I might be thinking of a different one, because I thought I had one that was like, maybe it's just the, yeah, no, I have one that's 240 gigs.
Yeah, that's like the iPod Classic. Like, that's when they start going with the, or like the iPod Video, that's when they start getting like really big.
Yeah.
Like, the first iPod that came out was literally 10 gig, and it was like a brick.
Yeah.
And it would only, like the first like few months, it would only sync with the Mac. Like, you basically had to, on a Mac if you wanted to use it. Like, that's the one thing that kept my brother from buying one until they finally came up with, like, a PC driver that worked for it. It installed, like, a FireWire card to use it, too, which was great. Because, like, nothing used FireWire, but, like, an iPod and, like, DV camcorders.
Yeah. But what's great about those is that, have you lost your, your cell phone service? Or is there, because they don't take much power either. So, just like, all right, I'm just going to listen to this. I have, like... 500 hours of stuff to listen to.
They're kind of great for that. Like, I mean, especially if you wanted to ever, like, put it into a... Because they use, like, the common interface that has been, like, on most, like, MP3 jukeboxes and, I guess just, like, for lack of a better term, like, alarm clocks that have, like, a built-in iPod dock. they use like the same interface for all of them. So if you've got like a very ancient iPod and you decide to like replace the hard drive, the flash memory, you could have like, you know, 300 gigs of music in the, well, probably like 250 gigs of music in the car from just a massive SD card and then an adapter over compact flash. So it's like a good way to keep like most of your music library with you just by buying like a big SD card and then an adapter and installing it in your iPod.
And they're even getting, even SD cards are getting like super cheap lately too.
Yeah, it's nuts. Like I figure at some point they just like bottom out. I'm like, well, that's as cheap as they're going to get. And then it's like, oh, they're way cheaper now.
Yeah. Or even jump drives. They're getting super cheap too.
I was kind of baffled. I did this program at my local library. And the people who came there needed to have jump drives. And like, of course, and like it's a library program. No one was like, nobody was planning on bringing like a jump drive with them. But the library just had like a bunch of jump drives that were basically free. Like we could just use them in programs. And they were like, do I have to bring these back where they're done? And Jamie was helping me out with it. And she's like, no, just keep them. Like they're worth so little now. They're basically free.
Well, that's when I even see like the last place I went to that gave away jump drives. They gave like 256 meg or 512 meg. And I was like, how did you guys, and this was only like a couple of years ago. I'm like, why are they so small? Did you guys like special order these? Because yeah, like at the time that you could get 2 gigs for free at events.
Yeah. So, all the ones that she had were like that 1 to 2 gig range.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I think I have I remember I got a 1 gig jump drive back in like in 04.
That's probably about like 04. So that's, I remember being hot stuff in 2005 when I got my 4 gig flash drive. It cost me like more than $100 off Newegg.
Oh, mine totally cost $100 back in 04. No, maybe it was 03. It was totally 03. It was one of the top end ones. It barely works now, but I have like even like a box, like a Loot Crate box full of jump drives. I'm like, they're all right, especially like having cloud storage now. I'm like, I can store things on a jump drive, and especially if it's not, because they're also like USB 1 or USB 2, that if you are lucky, with it not being USB 3, then it's, you can't really like run things off of it really fast.
Yeah, some of those old jump drives are so slow. You're like, are you broken? And no, they're just really slow.
Yeah, yeah.
I had this, my first jump drive, first one, was 256 meg. And my brother got like he worked at Best Buy for a while, and he got like a stack of rebates on it. Oh. And it was like, it still cost him money to buy it, but he got like a quote unquote good deal on this 256 meg jump drive. And it came on like this dorky lanyard, but I decided to make it even worse by spray painting the jump drive gold. And then I bought a necklace with like dollar signs on it out of like a vending machine. And I attached it to that. I had this massive Mr. T like necklace with the jump drive on it. And I thought it was hilarious for a while. And I even bought like this brass like coupler that you use to like attach keys to like a lanyard. Mm-hmm. And just so you could like detach it just like you could with like the plastic lanyard that I had before. And I used that thing for like the first like maybe about my first like year of college. So every time I wanted to take like a jump drive out and plug it into a machine to give like a presentation or something, I had to pull this embarrassing hunk of costume jewelry out of my backpack and plug it into a computer to pull up a PowerPoint.
I like it.
All right. That's a good jump drive. I think I still got that somewhere.
Yeah. Well, they don't die.
I've had them. Well, okay, I take it back. I've killed jump drives before by like snapping plugs off and stuff.
Yeah, I've done that. Or you know, like it's saying there, you just like happened to like, especially laptops. That was the death of most of mine. Is I set it and it either the laptop falls because they put the USB in a weird spot, the plug in a weird spot. So when it fell or when I shifted, I ended up like bending it. Still have been able to save information. And then I end up just destroying it, going like, I'm not totally sure if what's on this right now. Let's just nuke it.
There were 6 years that nobody knew how to make a plug on a jump drive, and they just snap off. Like it felt like about half of all jump drives I owned, like I would eventually just snap the end on it. Like even that really expensive like 4 gig jump drive I had back in like 2005 or whenever it was. that one, like, I snapped the plug off of it, and, like, I kept, like, trying to duct tape it on, and, like, eventually, like, all my jump drives, like, I'd re-solder all the connectors on it, and then just, like, to give it stability, I would just, like, wrap it in layers and layers of, not duct tape, electrical tape, and just make it as stiff as I possibly could, and, like, invariably, I'd eventually, like, break it off, because it was, like, they'd even come with, like, hard plastic sleeves that went all the way up to the collar of the plug. They'd come in, like, these rubber sleeves. So, like, they gave, like, no structural support. So, if you basically use a jump drive like a normal human being, you would eventually break it.
I had some that they were totally just bent. And I'd plug it in and kind of look like more like I was plugging in a USB antenna in my laptop. I was like, it still works.
Yeah, how do they make all those things last? Like, all the USB Wi-Fi adapters last for all of eternity, but, like, jump drives would just fall apart if you looked at them wrong. Like, the thing you're frequently plugging in and unplugging is the most fragile thing.
Well, they still survived washes. I don't know how many times I've washed and...
Yeah, that's, like, tried. The one upside. Like, you could run jump drive through the washer. It wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
I've got, like, a big stack of jump drives. I should go through them all and just, like, see what I've got saved on them all. Because I've got, like, a bunch of the ones that were, like, duct taped. I don't know, like, how... Well, not duct tape, electrical tape. Keep saying duct tape.
Yeah,
I've got a bunch of them taped up in a bin somewhere, and I don't have any idea what's on them. Like, they just go in there when I kind of stopped needing them.
Yeah,
I haven't looked at them again since.
That's what I just dusted mine off, and I'm looking at it. I'm like, because of Loot Crate, I actually have, like, a, you know, Game of Thrones Stark Crest jump drive. I'm like, well, there's that one. I have no clue how big it is. And then do you remember, like, when we'd carry jump drives, it had the, like, the jump drive thing that goes on your keychain?
Yeah.
It, like, hold to... Yeah, I had, like, a bunch of those. Like, wow, look at this.
I was a poor college student, and I just tried to make my own by just taking, like, a zip tie and running it through the tape before I taped it. Like, every single one of my jump drives, except for the bling bling one, looked like an IED.
Yeah.
It looked just patently dangerous.
And I found the first jump drive. It's a Lexar, so it's so...
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't even know if it would work.
You just, like, plug it in. It's, like, got malware bytes from, like, 2006, and has a stolen copy of Photoshop that won't work anymore because of the Creative Cloud. And has drivers for, like, an HP printer.
That's a very high chance on that, actually.
That's pretty much what everybody on Jump Drive basically had, those three things, and then some album that they really like. Like, that's pretty much it. Like, it had, like, usually, like, some small collection of music, and then, like, an assortment of software that was questionably legal or like, just free software. I remember all for right. a while I'd, like, had this difficult crisis of conscience where I was like, I have to make sure all my that, like, I regularly plug in my jump drive to make sure it has, like, all the latest, like, antivirus and stuff.
Yeah,
and like that. And like the I have to have like a if I had like a in my bag of tricks I'd have like a Wi-Fi USB adapter, so I had to make sure, like, I always had, like, drivers for any stuff I'd use, like, help fix people's computers. Like, I had to make sure I keep all those drivers, because, like, there's that time, like, networking adapters just didn't work out of the box in Windows, so you always have to find a network driver on the internet, you know, using that network device that doesn't have a driver to work.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I remember that. Yeah, especially when you, like, reinstall computers, like, for straight, without all the bloatware, so you're always having to hunt down, and the first thing you always need is the network driver.
Yeah, that always sucked when that happened. Like, sometimes you have, like, a driver for your printer, you're like, oh, hey, that's great. Yeah, it can't get on the internet. That sucks.
So,
I'm glad those times are over.
I decided to plug it in to see what I could get. Luckily, our podcast is still going, so that's good. But I think it's dead.
Oh, that's sad.
There's no lights. The computer's not even recognizing it. There's no pop-up going, install drivers or... any random thing like that.
Do you want to say any words for your poor jump drive?
I probably should actually throw it away. Throw it in the microwave, nuke it, make sure it's actually dead. Actually, there is ways to make it work. I forgot. You can, if you go in and dig around, you can activate some, you know, go into like your hardware settings, because sometimes there's that one little thing that recognizes it but doesn't quite know what to do with it.
It's like, what is this? Can you explain it for me?
Yeah. Like, I have a USB plug. What did you just plug into that?
Did you ever own a Sony Vaio? Or, like, any piece of Sony, like, Sony PC or high-end, like, AV equipment in, like, the early 2000s?
I had a, not the Vaio, the, what was their handheld they came out with? The PSP.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So you know about the memory stick, then?
Oh, I'm holding one in my hand. It's also in this box.
Yeah, they just kind of all get, like, they just kind of accumulate in the jump drive box.
Yeah, it is.
All like, Sony's cards. Long list of forgotten media that nobody ever cared about.
Yeah, I have a 256 meg memory stick pro.
I like how they made the memory stick pro after they realized that the memory stick was like way too big and the SD card was gonna like just crush it.
Hmm.
Yeah, I went all in on the memory stick because I had a Sony Vaio. I was like, oh man, they've got like the PSP's got the memory stick. It's going to clearly be the one that wins this.
Yeah, I wasn't fully in on that one because that was the like, only piece of hardware I had that was taking it. I'm like, why did you guys seriously go with the thing that no one is using?
Sony always did stuff like that. It made like no sense.
Well, it pays off sometimes. They did win the Blu-ray war.
Yeah, like after trying again and again, they finally got one.
Yeah,
that was really funny that they won Blu-ray. Like, there's no like I was like sure just because of Sony's record that I was figuring like Toshiba is going to get HD DVD. Like I figured like that was going to be it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why Sony even got, like, why that worked out for Sony, because not like HD DVD, like, I think, like, I remember at the time thinking HD DVD was actually, like, a superior format, like, it had, like, a better video encoding or something. I don't remember. But, like,
I do think it did have a better setup, but they kept on pushing, because they were even worried, because they lost the Betamax VHS war, because they wouldn't allow porn on it. And then they, when Blu-ray came out, like, hey, porn industry, put your porn on this. And, which I was like, the internet exists, guys. I don't think that's actually a point anymore.
That's such a weird obsession. Circa 2009, they're just like going around, to like porn producers and like, hey, stick it on here.
I think they just kept on throwing money at it, and they were paying people to release on the Blu-ray. Microsoft was like, we'll let our technology do its thing, and that's the way Microsoft kind of does. Plus, Microsoft's, you know, they have successfully made three pieces of hardware: the Xbox, and depending on whichever version you think is the good one, if any of them. I think the first one, at least, is still the better of them all. It's kind of like the old NES. A keyboard and a mouse.
The Surface is doing okay. Like, it's...
I guess.
I know, like, business users are like, oh, the Surface isn't that great, it sucks, but... Like, if you take a look at, like, the, like, Surface 3 owners that aren't in, like, an office environment, or, like, the Road Warriors or whatever, they love, like, their Surface 3 or Surface 4s. Like, those are actually doing okay. Like, I think they actually successfully made something that's better than an iPad.
Okay, here's something Sony did successfully do. Apparently, they were the last push for the 3.5-inch floppy disk. they awesome. Out, away from the 5 1/4. But I was looking at some of their... Oh, actually, there's always the Walkman. They did win the entire industry with that.
Yeah, but they didn't come up with the cassette tape, though, did they? Like, that's something that, like, I thought, like, Maxell came up with. I could be wrong. Actually, I got no idea.
It could be. They were still, like, the Walkman name. That's why there's also... They at least got the name right, kind of.
Yeah,
like,
that was a goofy MP3 player, too, in, like, the release of a series of Walkmans.
Yes.
And, like, do you remember the Sony Klee? It was, like, their Palm Pilot.
I don't think I did.
All those things used memory sticks. They were like super futuristic when they came out. Like, people, I had a Sony Klee for a while, and I'll see if I can stick one in the show notes. But it's this thing that had like a it was basically like a tiny
tablet. It was the size of a Palm Pilot, but it had like a full thumb keyboard.
All right.
Yeah, I'll see if I can pull it up. Like, and the weird thing is, this should have been an indicator I shouldn't have sold mine because I get like nostalgia trips for it. But mm-hmm. The model I had, like, I bought for $500, and then when I sold again on eBay, I got $500 out of it.
Wow. Yeah.
I bought and sold it before the iPhone came out. The thing looks super goofy, and it's got like this little crappy screen. It wasn't like the best device ever, and like the keyboard had like no support for like pretty much any Palm Pilot apps. The only thing they ever used like the keyboard were just the Sony built-in apps, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, so it's kind of like the early days of smartphones and tablets, where it's like we have our special little thing.
Oh yeah, if this thing could have made phone calls in like circa 2003, it would have been a big deal.
Oh, I vaguely remember this. That came out like the game.com came out at the time too, and
yeah, there's like an assortment of like handheld devices that were. They're trying to basically make a smartphone. Like the idea of a smartphone existed before the iPhone came out, and this was kind of. I think this is like the best developed of those ideas because like the GameCom came out, and it's weird to think of that thing as a PDA, but it was. They're like, look, it plays video games, and it also has like an address book. Like vendors didn't really know what to put on a device like that, and it wasn't. I don't think it's ever like the hardware on those devices that killed them. I think it's always the software. Like that was always like the limiting factor.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because, yeah, that thing absolutely rolled. Like, I could do, like, a good, like, 20, 30 words per minute on it, and it just fit in my pants pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah, on Amazon right now, the UX50 is still $150, and this is, like, a 14-year-old device now.
And people are buying it. the nostalgia or the whatever else you can do with it.
I think the only game you can really play on it is there's this knockoff of Worms. Called Snails that was really good. That's like the only game I ever had for it, but like that and the note-taking app were basically the killer apps on it. And the note-taking app wasn't even that good. It was just basically notepad.exe.
Huh.
But yeah, it did okay. Like it was good enough. Air quotes.
Yeah. Well, it was, yeah, it's for the time period and all that.
If you want to be really cool, you could also like hook it, you also had a modem. So you could you could plug it into a phone line and then get on AOL or whatever.
Or you end up getting on the bulletin board systems.
Yeah.
There you go. It'd be super cool with that.
Palm Pilots were really fun back in the day in terms of just like the weird stuff they came up with them. Because like nobody had any idea what they were doing. And the people that are buying them, like they're basically rich old man toys. So if you're like a lawyer or like a crappy engineer that doesn't like their job or their life, this is like the thing you bought just because it was like this cool idea of the future. And so if you couldn't quite make it work, you didn't like blame the device because it was enshrined with this wonderful, exciting, bold vision of the future. So like they kind of just got away with just putting out these devices that were essentially useless compared to like just a notebook and a pen. But they're still just kind of cool from an engineering perspective. Yeah, they also had horrendous software. All of them were bad. Every single Palm Pilot pretty much had just terrible software.
Yeah. So, you gotta love the old. Yeah. Just, I mean, even though, yeah. It was the other one. The mini disc. That was another thing that.
Oh man, I had a friend that went all in on the Sony mini disc. Like he bought the player and like he just bought piles of media for it because he had a ton of music. He like ripped CDs onto like a bunch of hard drives. And he's like, oh man, this would be awesome because I ride my bike everywhere. So I definitely want to like carry all my music with me in my backpack. So yeah, mm-hmm. He bought like a pile of those discs. And at the time it was super high tech, but yeah, that didn't pay off.
No.
You remember the hard drive for the PSP?
Oh my god. I guess.
There's like a physical hard drive, like a spinning platter hard drive.
Oh, you mean like for the games and everything? Like the or what was it? Was it UMD?
No, not the UMD. It was I'll stick in the show notes. So like when the PSP came out, like getting 4 gigs of flash memory would cost like $300. And like especially as like a memory stick, like I think memory sticks only went like 200 or like a 2 gig. And they were like really expensive. They were really expensive as is. So I'm third party manufacturer stuck like a 4 gig like hard disk drive into like this pack that you can stick on the side of your PSP and then plug it into the memory stick slot. So you get 4 gigs of storage of your PSP. When it came out, it was like $200, but it's still cheaper than like the 2 gig memory stick. Like it was useful for exactly like 6 months. Because then flash memory got like twice as cheap, and then like a year later, it was completely obsolete. And 4 gig was like the most space you could possibly have on the PSP because I think it was FAT16.
Oh, gee.
Yeah.
Really? Wow. Why would you?
Actually, it may have used FAT32, but it was a 4 gig limit on the original PSP. Like because I was gonna buy like a monster memory stick for my PSP later, and like I read that the original PSP you topped out at 4 gig. And then, yeah, it had those goofy UMD discs, which was DVDs in a plastic case.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a fun thing to collect, like, retro, too, because, like, PSP discs are essentially worthless to collectors. So, like, yeah, if anyone ever wants to get a video game collecting, that's a good one to start with.
Yeah,
maybe I might have to dust off. Just give him a pile of UMD discs.
I might have to dust off my PSP thing. I never got rid of it. It was useful at the time, and then, yeah.
That's a fun system. Like the PSP was badly underrated. Like it had so many good games for it.
I think I had more fun playing games with other people with it.
Yeah, it's good for multiplayer too.
Yeah, I was impressed.
And the DS just jumped into the multiplayer. Like they did so good for ad hoc multiplayer. Like just coming from like the prior gaming system was the Game Boy Advance, and then we got two consoles in the same generation that could do like multiplayer over Wi-Fi ad hoc. We were very spoiled at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, so also the sad news that jump drive. I think it might be it may be dead officially.
Oh, boo.
Yeah.
Does he have a name?
It didn't. I didn't think about it. Not that I know.
We should jump drive. JP. Or, oh, JP isn't an acronym for jump drive, I just realized. JD, we'll name him JD.
JD.
Poor JD. Thank you for storing my illegal copy of Photoshop that I downloaded from the internet. And my piles of my complete discography of Korn that happens to be missing two albums because the guy who put it together did so.
And it was Prodigy, actually.
It was Prodigy. Thank you for holding my complete discography of Prodigy. You're a good jump drive. Thank you for never carrying a virus. You've always looked out for me.
Yeah, I mean,
I can't even find my taped up jump drives. I still have a pile of memory sticks.
Yeah. That's why I started putting them all together. I was like, just go here. I think especially if whenever I saw like, oh, this is a cool jump drive. I'm spending more money on its like special lookingness over its actual storage.
Oh, definitely. Like the novelty flash drives on Amazon are so great. There's I had for a while my wish list was basically just made up of those. Like there's this cool shark. There was this there's like an Uzi. Like it was a tiny rubber Uzi that you could like store 8 gig on or something. And now I've got like a odd collection of small animals. Like they're all like birds and like a goldfish.
So I just realized you sending me these links, which our listeners might too, if we put them in the show notes. Now my Amazon list is showing me all this retro Palm Pilot and like micro SD cards. Yeah. Oh, even you could take the Pro Duo stick and you can stick micro SD HCs into them.
Oh, hell
yeah. Get your, like, wow.
Oh man, yeah. There's a cool collection of like all in one UMPCs. I kind of feel bad, like the UMPC is like a genre, like died before it even got a chance. Because they came out with like the smartphones came out, and then netbooks came out, and then tablets came out, and it just like killed the opportunity for UMPCs to be a thing. Like, there's only been like one UMPC that like has like that's like even being made today. The let's see if we can stick it in the notes. It's made by this company called GPD, but it's basically this itty-bitty netbook that happens to have, like, a pretty cool atom under the hood, and it looks like a MacBook, but it has, like, a ThinkPad nub.
So it's just, like, a really tiny... I actually looked that up, so ultra-mobile PC.
Yeah.
So just a teeny-tiny
basically, laptop. Like, when they came out with, like, the... when they came out with super low-power processors for the first time, they're like, oh, man, it runs Windows. Let's put it in a thing with a touch screen. And they came out with like this like line of Fujitsu came out with one that was actually that people actually liked a lot.
I did find one Windows 10 UMPC with Snapdragon on it. Supposed to launch in January 2018 for $750. It's the KS Pro. Why would you spend that much money on basically a phone without the phone?
Like an 8-inch. You want Windows?
I guess it does have Windows 10. It has 8 gigs of RAM, so that's not too bad.
Yeah, they're generally not terrible computers. Like, I mean, they're not good by any stretch, and they've usually clunky, and they're not very nice to use. Especially like the Fujitsu one. Like, it has like keyboard lights, and the keyboard's the size of like a small sandwich.
Oh well, that's like this one. It's an 8-inch. AM OLED, you know, touchscreen. So it's a bona fide 8-inch screen, you know, phone. And the keyboard is that size. Like an actual QWERTY keyboard with a little, that little nub in this middle for your mouse. I'm like, I guess it has a lot of stuff with it that's kind of cool-ish. It has, you know, quoted 12-hour usage battery life. Wow, that thing,
if they could make them just like give them like a little bit more oomph processor wise, GPU wise, they could have like just a great like portable gaming machine. There have been a couple of folks have like tried basically making devices like that, but they're always just like severely nerfed in the GPU department. And I mean, if it has a 3-hour battery life, that's not great, but or like even a 1.5 or 2-hour battery life, that's it's like, well, how portable is this thing? But I think there's an application for people to have like a device you plug into the wall while you're away from home and like play PC games on it. Like, I think there'd be people to be interested in that.
Well, look at the people who still buy Alienware laptops.
That's true.
Who showed me his, and he's like, oh, I get like a half hour of full on gaming on this. I'm like, you don't have a laptop. You have a portable desktop at that point.
Yeah, it's like MSI's backpack computer.
Yeah, it's like, you cannot leave that thing unplugged ever. I don't even know why you have a battery, actually. You have a battery so you can save your stuff in case the power goes out while you're in the middle of your game?
Yeah, there's some nutty, huge laptops from Alienware. Upsettingly large.
Yeah. It's like, no, I don't need lights. Plus, you can get, without spending the Alienware price tag, sometimes you can get a good, long battery laptop.
That's pretty... Alienware doesn't actually really make that good of hardware. Like, there's a lot better... like, if you look at MSI, Acer, or Asus, like, they make better gaming laptops than Alienware does by a long shot and for cheaper.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, I'm a totally fan of, like, an Acer and Asus fan through and through. I think it's Acer's laptops I'm not the best fan of because their mouse pads seem to kind of go wonky. If you can get a good enough version of their Acers, they're a lot better. But Asus is, I think, the one I prefer more.
I think, like, for the most part, with a lot of those machines, like, you're paying for a good screen, a really good, great guts, and everything else is secondary. Like, every single, like, quote-unquote gaming laptop I've ever used or owned,
like they fall apart.
Oh, see, that's what I like about the Asus. It so you know, going to school, have this big old backpack with 50 pounds of books, and I also have 17-inch monitor or 17-inch screen. So the thing's a beast as it is for a laptop. The thing fell off of this high chair, my backpack fell off this my high chair onto the ground, onto the corner of the laptop, and I was worried. Nope. Damage to the casing. I couldn't use one of the jump drives anymore because that's where this one particular one was. Still can use it. It's actually now my backup laptop still. And, you know, this is like 5 years ago.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm like, well, I need it. Had to replace the power supply on it and the battery. Because those are the things that actually went.
Every single laptop you have to do that on at some point.
Yeah. What's nice is when you can get that generic $12 to $20 power brick to plug in. It's, with the cord that's like five times the length of what you previously had. So you're like, I'm walking around the house with my laptop plugged in. Especially where I haven't dropped the price of batteries hasn't quite dropped. So it's like, do I invest the $100 for my laptop battery? Or do I keep it plugged in and walk around the house?
I had to do that with my Sony Vaio. Had to get like both new on both those. I remember the Sony Vaio was kind of mad because it bought like this enormous Chinese battery that was like twice the size of the other one, and like it just straight up died on me. Like after like 6 months of working fantastically, and then just died. I think a lot of those is just like the wiring in them sucks, and like they just like the reason they stop working is just because there's like a bad joint or something in there. But I'm always terrified of taking apart a battery. Like that's one of those things I still worked up the courage to do.
Oh no, I've seen people, I'll admit, I'm not a fan. I don't really see the need to most of the time, but I've seen people who've like taken apart Mac batteries and be like, open it up, like, well, we're doing this and we're trying to move things up, and then the thing literally catches on fire right in front of them. Like,
yikes.
This is why we have a fire extinguisher right next to us, because this is common.
Ugh.
Yeah, if you ever work on a battery, have a fire extinguisher next to you.
Okay.
Or
I won't do that then.
Yeah, or don't go work on a battery. Yeah, it's not. It's totally not worth it. also you're talking about like the double the size battery. That's nice too sometimes, if you have the space to store it, because it provides like airflow suddenly, and you have doubled the life of your laptop.
Also, your laptop feels like it's sitting on top of a phone book.
Yeah. Well, it's more lean, so it actually leans it towards you even more. Of course, that also depends on the type of laptop you get, because like my current one, I have to take off the entire bottom plate to, kind of like the new MacBooks, you have to take off the entire bottom plate to access the battery.
I'll just talk about laptops makes me feel bad. My laptop is such a failure in my eyes. Like I've got this little 12-inch MacBook that I bought off Woot for like $800. And it's super duper slow, and I'm not a fan of like the latest version of OS X anyway.
Yeah,
and it's like it just doesn't feel like it's a big tank. Which I mean, on the one hand, it's stupid for me to criticize it, because one of the reasons I bought it is specifically because it was teeny tiny.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize how much of a mistake that was, the laptop, in retrospect. Which may be why UMPCs never caught on, because every time someone bought one, they were just sorely disappointed with it being kind of pokey, and then so tiny it felt unusable.
Oh, I went through that with the netbooks. I was like, oh, I have a netbook. Yay, this is cool. And I started doing stuff, and I'm like, this is way too small, and like it's way underpowered, and it lasted me like a year before I finally invested in a 17-inch laptop, and I've never gone back. So I kind of wish I could get a bigger laptop for not an extra $1,000.
Oh, I was going to say, like, Acer came out with this like 23-inch laptop that's like a curved screen.
Oh, I'd be worried. I would be worried. If it's a curved screen on a laptop, I'd be worried. I would destroy. Actually, there is a laptop that came out. Who was it? I think it's Razer, actually. Had a beta, which even got stolen.
Three screens, that one.
Yes, the three screen laptop. I was like, I would be it. I would be good with that.
It's only 21 inch.
Oh.
Only.
Only, yeah, true.
this one actually did make it to market, but there, ThinkPad, I think before Lenovo bought the name for it, there's this monster ThinkPad called the W701DS, and it's still like a $2,000 laptop on eBay, because ThinkPad collectors are even more insane than Apple collectors.
Wow.
And it's a laptop that has, like, if you push on the side, like, this 10-inch screen pops out the side of the 17-inch screen. And the bottom of it has, like, a numeric keypad, full keyboard, as a touchpad. It has a little ThinkPad nub. And it has a Wacom drawing tablet at the bottom. And the thing was made in, like, I think, like, 2008 or so. And it has a, it actually supports, like, 32 gig of memory or something insane like that. Because it has, like, four slots. And it has, like, four, like, disk drive slots. It's basically just like a powerful desktop PC from that era that they decided to put a screen on top of. It falls in kind of that luggable category because it's like well into like the double digits of pounds. The thing is just an enormous beast. Oh. It's like also one of the early, it's like quad core laptops too.
Yeah. Oh, so here it is. It's the, for the Razer, it's 17.3 inch screens. So three of them. 17.3, and they're all 4K screens.
You need a lot of, you need an awfully powerful GPU or multiple GPUs to power all those.
Yeah, it's basically what they do is they call it a 12K multi-display.
Yikes. I don't know what you'd do that, what you'd even do with that besides like driving sims, because like, I mean, Razer sells for like gamers. But I guess maybe like video editing on the go, maybe, but I don't know.
They're going to be like that.
Such,
well,
such a niche market. Like, it's way better to sell to gamers.
Yeah, for first-person shooters, you definitely get more of the side. Honestly, I think it'd be great for, like, you know, programming. Some of the stuff they show in here is also, like, you know, editing videos and music, stuff like that. I'm not a fan of the placement. Instead of having the 10 key, that's where they put the mouse pad, which that's the other reason I like my 17-inch. I like my 10 key. It can stay there.
I'm kind of glad those are coming back to laptops, because they kind of start disappearing for a while when 15-inchers were becoming like, were starting to take over, and 17-inchers are going away. Mm. And they realize, oh, wow, if we just move the keyboard to the left, we can fit everything on there.
Oh, and the keyboard doesn't have to be huge. Yeah, it's kind of weird, actually, with the mouse there instead of in the front center. I guess that's still where your hand would sit, but it feels, I guess it's natural for, you know, having so much screen. I don't even know how much this thing. Apparently, Project Larry, they released, they talked about it on CES 2017. Actually, it was. It was CES this year. One of them walked off the show floor.
Oh, yeah, I remember hearing about that. Did they track it down?
I think they got it back, but there wasn't much information about it.
Huh.
I'm actually surprised it's not out, because a lot of stuff from CES from that, because I'm not seeing any buying ability. But yeah, a lot of stuff from this year's CES have already come out to market.
I don't know if that one's ever going to come out, because like, that's one of those things that like, it costs a ton to produce on a large scale. But I have a hard time imagining like what the market is for that, because like, I mean, like, you'd think like that'd be great for first-person shooters. Like, all the people I know that play competitive shooters, they don't do, like, the side views. Because you want to have, like, because all you really care about is just getting insanely high FPS, like, in a very tiny window in front of you. I know that sounds weird, but for, like, Cisco and stuff like that, pretty much everyone I know does, like, 23, 24-inch monitor, if that, and then just try to get, like, the highest FPS they can.
Yeah. Well, okay, so without the three monitors, there is the single monitor exists, and you can. They start shipping apparently September 12th. So in
That's
a bit,
cool.
The base cost. If you can go, you can downgrade it to just an HD one. But for the 4K UHD, 512 gig, I'm guessing solid state hard drive, $4,000.
Yikes!
You want to upgrade to 2 terabytes? $4,900.
Ugh.
That has to be a solid state in there for that price difference. I don't know, just like skimming through it.
Acer.
It's solid state.
What's their name? Makes good laptops. Razer, that's right. Razer makes good laptops anyway. So it's not like it needs three screens to be a good machine.
Well, it would be good for work or programming, and you know, having three monitors is just nice for multitasking.
Even so, they make for secondary monitors, like they just make like add-in monitors that you can buy that like either USB, like driven completely off USB, or like they'll run off like HDMI. And they're like portable and battery powered. So I mean, there are like ways you can get like extra monitors on like a laptop and make it portable.
Yeah.
So I really just don't know what the market is for like that specific for like a laptop like that. It's like it's got to be like driving sim people and people who do video editing or at least what aspire to.
I'm wondering if that's just an add-on for the laptop. That's kind of weird.
That kind of makes sense. They just did like universal add-on. Like that'd be kind of a cool idea. Because that's the other problem. Yeah. If you're going to buy a laptop that has three screens, you're basically paying for two more screens that are permanently stuck to that laptop.
Yeah. And well, the other thing also about the three screens is with VR, how it's starting to trying really hard to pick up.
That's true.
So once you get that, you know, it's like why?
Yeah, if you're the gamer that wants the ultimate immersion on the go, you're probably just gonna splurge on VR goggles anyway.
Mm-hmm. But I've realized we've gotten over talking about laptops and video games and cartoons
and old computers nobody wants to talk about for good reason.
And old computers that didn't, you know, for your MP3s that store more than your phone.
Yeah.
Good for when, you know, everything goes down.
The apocalypse.
Yeah, that too. Alright, so you have any famous last words?
Yeah, hug your jump drive. Let it know you care.
Peace be with the jump drive.